In a high-tech world where people have ever-increasing courage to sit behind a screen and dole out opinions without consequence, comes three heroes prepared to fight back through the safety of our microphones and digital airwaves. You've got one star for us? Well, we've got three stars for you. Here comes Three Stars Podcast, ready to dish it out.
They allow kids to sit at our bar.
What the fuck?
Hell no. Oh, hell no. Hello, and welcome to Three Stars Podcast. Hey, guys, so sorry it's been a while. We've just been crazy busy here at Westminster Casa and Denver Casa.
Three Stars Podcast land.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Life is crazy, crazy busy. I'm one of your hosts. We'll start there. Samantha, thank you very much for tuning back into us. We greatly appreciate all of you. I'm here accompanied by one of my favorite bros, Brad, and then a lovely co-brost, John, because Bill is out. Bill's not feeling very well. So Bill has decided to take the week off, and we have John. And John has actually been on our podcast before, but before I go any further, John, say hi.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I do appreciate it. John, what episode were you on? Do you remember? Which episode was that?
It was Pride.
It was Pride, and it was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah, it was a while ago. Yeah. I remember that. That was nice.
Oh, we got tanked.
Yeah, that
was nice. And then you stayed at Bill's and continued to get tanked, I think.
Oh, good time.
Yeah, it turned out to be a bad day.
Oh, no.
Well, John ended up... I think you walked in with a bottle of tequila, and we already had a bottle of tequila. And then I think we had whiskey also. We drank a lot that day.
We did mojitos. So with the,
we did mojitos
with the tequila and everything else that came along with it. It was
I don't know. I remember you being there, and I remember
I remember you were
up.
There.
I feel I like I recording. Had brunch before that, too, though.
I think you did.
You did.
You did. Yes, yeah. You did.
So yeah. I had a little bit of bubbly in
me. You had some bubblies in you. Yeah, man. It's been a while. Well, welcome back. Thank you again for being here.
I went and got a pedicure after, and I didn't remember it.
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
Why are my toes so pretty?
Who painted my toes?
What is this podcast all about?
For those of you tuning in for the first time, we are a podcast that shits on crappy Yelp reviews, TripAdvisor reviews, Google reviews, and the service industry. For those of you that have been with us from day one or day 125, thank you very much for returning. We do appreciate you. As I said before, life was kind of chaotic for a while again, and working full-time jobs that we had to take a bit of a break, but we are back and we're ready to rock and roll. Today, we're going to be talking about, in my opinion, one of the best hidden gems of the service industry, and those are hotels. Hotel restaurants, I think, while they can be a challenge to work at, they're amazing because 9 times out of 10, you get health benefits. And then you definitely get hotel benefits. And that's not just within your hotel. That is with the brand altogether internationally. So say if I worked at, the Aloft Hotel in Broomfield, Colorado, which I did, I would get, at the time it was known as a Starwood property, I would get all Starwood benefits with any other Starwood hotel, including room rate and food discounts. Not only that, a lot of these hotels have boutique hotels and other hotels that they've bought out under different brand names. So there would be hotels within the Ambridge company, which is attached to now the Marriott company, that I could go stay at with. So, I mean, it really is, you know, working for a hotel really, especially the restaurant, because you get tips and gratuity and stuff like that, but you get all these benefits. It really is kind of a hidden secret in our service world, where a lot of the service industry places don't give you health benefits.
Especially if you get to work in one that has a good bar restaurant, right?
Yes.
Like, I was talking to one of the bartenders at Death & Co. Denver, and they're inside the Ramble, which is a little boutique hotel. Mm-hmm. Well, he gets the benefits of whoever that hotel management company is.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's, you know, Starwood or
Hilton or
Hilton or
Marriott, yeah. Whomever.
I don't remember who it is, but he was like, yeah, he's like, the benefit of that alone is worth staying for him anyway, because you get those perks. And if you like to travel, you know, you get those perks for yourself and you get, you know, the family discounts also.
Yeah, it really is pretty darn amazing. Especially, like I said, where most service industries, you don't even get a free meal. I don't get free meals at my job. So, you know, hotels are kind of the way to go. Go ahead and hit us up on Facebook, Instagram. Make sure to give those little hearts, those likes. Give us a nice review, too. You can always just write us on our Instagram page. I manage that very poorly, but I do manage it.
You're doing a great job. For someone who doesn't like social media, you do a great job.
I can't stand social media. It drives me nuts. Let me tell you guys, it takes everything inside of me to get on Instagram for my own personal use and for Three Stars Podcast and to post a bunch of Three Star Podcast stuff. It just drives me nuts. But go ahead and give us a little heart, a like. Make sure to leave us a review. Go ahead and hit that cute little subscribe button on any podcast platform that you listen to. And again, leave a review. Leave a review. Tell us that you missed us. Tell us that you love the break and you got tired of hearing my voice and it was a phenomenal 2 weeks off. Tell us something. Let us know that you're alive and out there. Please.
Let us know you're not a bot when I check the analytics.
Please. Do we have any shout outs today?
I have a shout out. Yep. You said that we were, you know, crazy busy, you know, life and work got a hold of us. I got to go do the notorious bar 5 day. And I say notorious just because it is like, it's known within the industry. And it is extraordinarily difficult and people cry and, it can be overwhelming. But I got to go do that. I was away, 2 weeks ago for it. And I want to give a shout out to my bar 5 fam who went through it with me. And, you know, they're 70 or 80 of us, and we all survived it and you know, made some good lifelong friends and connections. It was an awesome experience.
Yay, Bar 5. John, do you have any shout outs?
I do. My coworker Jen Silverstein was awarded the front of the house employee of the year.
Huzzah!
At our hotel.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, she got a nice little reward and a parking space, which is kind of nice.
Oh, wow.
So wow. It was her second acknowledgement of the year. She was acknowledged earlier in the year for being, you know, a star employee.
Yeah,
so
I had asked her about that, and she said, I was like, wait, you got it like 2 years in a row? And she's like, no, the last one was just a quarterly thing. This one was for the whole year. I mean, that's outstanding. Yeah. And I worked with her before, too. She's great.
That's awesome. I remember those awards at the hotel.
Total surprise. She knew nothing about it.
Yay.
That's the best.
Yay. I'm going to go ahead and shout out my friend Doug Beeman, who doesn't listen to the podcast, who is on Instagram only, I think, to stalk me. But Doug has been in the hotel industry, oh my gosh, forever. He, you know, one of the other perks that I forgot about with hotels is that you can transfer. And he did. He moved from Denver to Athens, Georgia, and he was able to transfer Marriott properties, and he now works at a Marriott property down there. But just a little hello to Doug. You're amazing. I appreciate you. If you ever listen to this, you are loved. All right. Before we book this room, we're going to go ahead and start with a drink. Brad, what are we doing today?
We're going to be drinking a cocktail from the pre-prohibition era.
Y'all. What's it called?
We're going to be drinking the Martinez,
ooh,
which is shrouded in the mystery of history. And I'll get that made up here in just a little bit.
Cool.
After we do this little appetizer.
Cool. Yes. And speaking of apps, who wants to take the first app or the first review, I should say?
I'll take it.
Yeah. Get it.
All right. Appetizer is from the Grand Hyatt Denver, 4.5 stars in Denver, Colorado. TripAdvisor is 5 stars, and this comes from January 2023. Great stay. Would definitely recommend the Grand Hyatt Denver to anyone visiting. The staff and facilities were great. Rachel reached out to us a couple days before and made our stay wonderful. Thanks again to everyone.
Wow.
Wow.
That's, whew. Man, that's loaded with all sorts of
of detail.
I tell you what.
I'll tell you what. Actually, I was like, oh, this is a shorty. This is probably going to be real spicy because I haven't read the reviews yet.
No.
And I was like, oh, it's just like a nice little, hey, thanks.
Yep, thank you.
I was like, okay, where's it going? It's, oh, thank you. Okay.
What did Rachel do for you guys?
Right. But like she reached out, but what did she say? Did she say thank you very much? This is what your hotel accommodations are, or hey, just to let you know, this is Rachel from the Grand Hyatt. You got a hotel booked, you know, this day.
I'll tell you right now, I think that this is a solicited review. This is Rachel reached out, did whatever Rachel did, and said, hey, do me a favor. Will you just leave a positive review for us?
It could be.
On TripAdvisor. And because Rachel probably did whatever, this person was like, all right, cool. You know, Rachel's like, make sure to mention me by name. That's this kind of review.
I could see that.
Right,
especially with all the lack of detail.
Right, exactly.
What facilities were great? The Sky Bar, because that really is great. The bar that's at the very top of the hotel.
I haven't even been there. Oh, I mean, I've been I've been standing there looking at it on the corner a million times,
it's
but
amazing.
I've never been up there.
Have you been up to the Sky Bar?
I have.
I loved it. Did you like it?
It's a beautiful fireplace.
Yeah,
it's a really nice bar.
I thought it was great.
It's really comfy.
I've seen pictures of people working there. Or I think
being there.
Yeah, well, I mean, because you went there with
my sisters and our friend Jeremy, yeah,
right.
For Jeremy's birthday.
And then I what's her name, who you actually worked at the Aloft with,
Claire.
Yeah, she opened that bar, I think. They opened.
The Grand Hyatt?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I think so.
Really?
Yeah. Because I remember seeing pictures of her with the rooftop with the background,
thinking of the Meridian, because they have
the
Meridian Lounge bar on their rooftop is the highest outdoor bar.
Okay.
The Sky Bar at the Grand Hyatt is like on floor 20 something, and it's way up there, but it's not outdoor. It's all enclosed.
Oh, it might have been the Meridian, because the Meridian was also a Marriott property,
which would have made
sense for Claire transferring
over
there.
Yeah, to transfer around. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you know, this is a 5-star review, which is really nice. It definitely boosts the Grand Hyatt's overall review. It leaves me wondering, what does the Grand Hyatt really have to offer?
I would skip over this review. Like if I were reading reviews, I would read this and I would say, okay, this tells me nothing, and that it doesn't actually give me any reason to go unless Rachel calls me.
Yeah. Right? Well, even then, I don't know.
Rachel better call me. And offer me something or whatever.
Especially because none of us really care if someone leaves a review.
Yeah.
It's pressure from our employer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That we need to have good reviews mm-hmm. to counteract the bad reviews.
Right.
Yep. Oh, and we're doing that at my job now. Whoever gets the most positive reviews with their name mentioned gets probably dinner or something stupid. It's so dumb.
Wow. They did that at the Aloft Hotel when I first started. When I was a new employee, my GM and AGM, you know, told me you need to do us a favor and ask your guests to please write reviews. And, you know, any review that has your name in it in a positive manner, you'll get star points. And I was like, sweet. I'll take points any day.
Sure.
Points lead to free rooms. I'll take it. So, yeah, I was getting reviews left and right. I mean, if you go to the Aloft back when I worked there and you look at TripAdvisor and Yelp, I'm just, my name is just everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like a blood splatter. It's just everywhere.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean,
incentives.
Depending on the incentive, they're totally worth doing, right? Like if your job gives you an incentive, like if my job said, hey, if you get the most positive reviews with your name mentioned in it, and I'll give you, you know, we'll give you free food for a month.
Absolutely.
I would do it.
I would too.
Right.
Yeah.
One free meal, not going to do it. I'm like, I can afford that. Like, but if you were to, you know, depending on the level of the incentive for the employee, absolutely.
I'll give you free health insurance for a year.
What I really don't like, oh, that would be amazing. What I really don't like is incentivizing the guest to do it.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say, hey, if you had a good time, do me a favor, leave us a positive review, throw my name in there. It's another thing to say, hey, if you do it, I'll buy your next round. Right. And that happens a lot where we're told to do that. We were told to do that out at the airport, you know, offer to buy him a beer or whatever it is. Yeah.
No. Anyways.
1 star.
Yeah. While this review looks good on paper, it's lacking a lot of detail. 1 star from me too.
I'll give them 2 because they took the time to do it.
Oh, seriously?
See, that's that hotel hospitality right there, John.
Oh, man.
Next one's going to have John's name in it.
Aww. All right. So then that's
1.33333.
Is that what that is?
I don't know.
I think it is. Yeah. 1.33333.
Math is hard.
All right. Math is hard. That's why I have a phone to do it for me. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move into Behind Bars with Bill, but unfortunately, like I said, Bill's not here, so it's going to be Behind Bars with Samantha.
I'm going to make cocktails.
Go make a cocktail. I apologize, guys, if I'm not as wonderful and witty and amazing at this as Bill. I'm sorry for that, but yeah, here we go. So, I mentioned in the intro that hotels are kind of a great hidden secret as far as hospitality industry goes or service industry goes, due to the benefits and such. And I kind of explained a little bit about that. You know, you get benefits within your own hotel, and then you get benefits with all the other brands of hotels. But what a lot of people don't know is it's a lot of work. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you have to know about. If you go work, anywhere you go work, you have to know about your company. You have to know about what you're selling, your product. We all understand that. That's anywhere. You know, a dentist doesn't just walk in not knowing how to use tools. They have to know everything. But with the hotel, it's not only just, say, if I worked at the Westin DIA, which I did, it's not only knowing about the Grill and Vines menu and all the wines that we have on the cuvee system, or, you know, what's up in the Sky Lounge bar. It's also knowing about the Westin as a brand, as a hotel. And each hotel within the Marriott company, they have particular slogans. So like the W is whatever, whenever, whenever, whatever. Something like that. The Loft is Live Life Aloft. The Westin is, what was the Westin's? I think it's Stay Well. And then from there, there's six pillars that I, as a bartender there, would have to know. I would have to know that the Westin's all about eat well, sleep well, rest well, move well, play well, work well. Those are our six pillars. In addition to that and the branding, you have to know about the rooms. The Westin has the Heavenly Bed, and it's the best bed out of all, you know, the Marriott branding companies. Westins are all about making sure that you have a positive, more holistic life. So they, most of them will be located where you can go out and exercise, and they should have shoes and, or running shoes and gear for you to borrow if you forgot yours at home. Yep. Yep. I saw that face, John. I know. I was like, ugh, I'm running in someone else's shoes.
Yum.
But they do. They have this stuff. So there's that I would have to know. The environment. Working out at DIA, especially when the hotel was brand new, we had to know all the stupid artwork out there. So when you're coming in on the train and you see all those logs on the side of the hill where the train stops and butts up against Westin, we had to know that that was art decor. Those are beetle-killed pine trees. And that it is actually a sundial. And, you know, we had to know when you take the escalator up to the main terminal from the train, there's supposed to be this art thing where it's a projection screen with running water, waterfall, and fire. And that's the fire and ice sculpture, you know, and it doesn't work now. It's the stupidest thing.
It's never had projection on it ever that I've worked there.
Right. It did for like maybe
it
2 or
like
3 months.
Kind of a Rockwell-ish.
Yes.
Type.
Yes. But we had to know what that was. We had to know all these stupid things. Within the brand itself, and then within the environment. So it's not, you know, it's not all a bed of roses. It's not as easy as everybody thinks it is. Plus, the hours are crazy weird. You know, when I worked at the Westin, I got shuffled between two bars. So I had to pick up shifts. And then we went to a union, and I was, I think, fourth or fifth application, which meant I got screwed on my shifts. So I had to pick up shifts and get shuffled around more. There's also things at the front desk that they have to know about. We have mystery shoppers within the hotel. So like any mystery shopper out in the real world, we have mystery shoppers too. And that from the moment they step foot inside the hotel, they're critiquing every little thing. And then that gets reported back to our GM, which then gets reported to us. We have to know about, in-room dining, IRD. This is a good one. We were talking about autograding. The Westin has an, most hotels now do, have an autocrat on their IRD. So if you order in-room dining or room service, there's already a grat added onto it. And we don't tell people that. We want to make money, especially if it's a slow night and your occupancy is only at 20%. That maybe means you have like 10 rooms, 15 rooms booked. The hotel is quiet. So we're not going to tell people, yeah, there's already a 20% on your in-room dining fee. What else? What else? God.
How many rooms did they have at that hotel, or do they?
What do they have? 300 to 400, I think. I left 7 years ago. Yeah, but 300 to 400, and the glass is triple thick paned, and you can't, I mean, no joke, you can't hear anything. The walls are thin, so you can hear the person next to you, but as far as the planes arriving and taking off, can't hear it. There's just a lot to know. I mean, while it is amazing for service industry as far as having benefits and perks, there's a lot that comes with it. And I'm sure at your hotel, you have to know certain things about, you know, the bar that you work at. Your hotel has how many bars? Like 4 or 5?
Six.
Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot. I would have to tell people when they would come in to check in at the Westin, you know, we do have the Grill and Vine downstairs. If you want to get something to eat, we also have, you know, IRD. And then the airport concourse main terminal has Boulder Tap House. You know, we have to know all this stuff. It's, while it is a great place to work to get your benefits and to get PTO and vacation, it really is a challenge on top of it, knowing all the things that you have to just regurgitate to a guest.
Convention schedules.
Yes.
Outlet hours.
Yes. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. So, you know, being a hotel guest, I will say this. As a guest, go ahead and ask the front desk, can we have a later checkout? And not a lot of people know that. You can always ask, can I have a later checkout? They'll usually give you until about 1 o'clock. At the latest. If you're like a platinum, they'll give you till 3. You can always ask to check in early. That doesn't hurt. You can always, I mean, absolutely ask for anything that you need. But make sure, you know, that you get to know everybody at the front desk. You get to know everybody at the bar, because then it makes it easier for you to get anything that you want. You know, they're there to help you. They're there to support you and kind of be at your beck and call, in a nice, polite way to say it.
And take care of them.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to see you repeatedly over a few days.
Absolutely.
They want to see people that valued them and took the time to acknowledge their service and take
care
of them.
Absolutely. Not only that, if you make buddy-buddy and you take care of them and you're genuine with them, they have no problem handing out free drink cards. They have no problem handing out, you know, or upgrading your room. It really is, as a guest, you really do have everybody in the palm of your hand. And if you know how to play your cards properly, you can go from, you know, an adequate ground floor room to a really nice suite on the 10th floor, you know, the highest floor in the hotel. You know, you can get your drinks free at the bar. The Westin, I know for a fact, they have free drink cards. So it's, you know, here's complimentary drinks. Having, you know, come hang out at the bar, make sure you tip your bartenders, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot to hotels, and if you want a job, you can always ask John or I. Kidding. I mean, you can ask John, you can't ask me. But if you want a job where you have, you know, your PTO, your vacation, your dental, your health, and then benefits, like I said, traveling internationally. You know, Brad and I, when we went to England, we stayed at a Marriott property over in England and got it for a steal. Just because of my benefits.
I haven't had a 401k as long as I've been in the service industry.
Yes, a 401k. These are things that service industries don't typically
get. So that's kind of exciting.
It is. It is. It sets you up for later in life, where the rest of us are like, oh, I gotta save my money myself. Shit, that sucks.
I'm on that doormat already.
So yeah, you know, hotels are great. They're great to work for if you want to dedicate the time and the energy to it. And they're also great to, you know, when you're guest traveling, they're great to just kind of, I mean, like hunker down and get to know the staff and have everything at your fingertips. No joke, everything at your fingertips. You like I said, you just treat people with kindness and they'll do anything for you. anything. So that's my little behind bars with Samantha Rant. Where are you at? What are you doing? Are you making more cocktails? What was that?
I was making the cocktails, but I wondered, you know, Samantha, I'm actually really impressed that you still remember everything from having worked at the hotel and you haven't been there. Well, yeah, I know you don't remember the cocktails, but you remember everything about the Westin. You remember everything about the Aloft. And you haven't worked there in how long? 6 years? 5 years?
The Westin, yeah. Six, 7 years. Seven years. Mm-hmm.
I'm really impressed. But like you said, like they make you know all of those things about the brand mm-hmm. itself.
That was a huge packet that we had to read through and go over.
And John, where you work is also a Marriott property, right?
Yes.
And do you have to know all of that stuff too?
Sure. I know how to get to my bar and I know how to get out of it.
Was it part of the training though? I mean, that you learn a bunch of those things?
Yes, it is a part of your training, yes. Whether John learned it or not.
I might have nodded off during that section.
But that was part, like you had to go through, like you had to go through classroom style training,
yes.
Right? When you go work for that brand.
For a week.
Yeah.
In the classroom for a week? Mm-hmm. Holy, and did you have to do that much too?
We did. I helped open the Westin, and a week before we actually opened, we were in classroom setting style, going through the Starwood, which at the time was still Starwood, and then Marriott, now Marriott. And then we were going over Denver, their rules and policy, because we're owned by the County of Denver. And we're going over airport policies, because the airport, it's a federal land. So we have to know what goes on with that.
Wow.
And then we were sent off to the bars to unwrap everything, clean everything, and stock everything.
They definitely want us to know all about, especially since Gaylord is a brand under Marriott. They want us to know about all the Gaylord properties and, you know, where they are, the history. They definitely run that down. So. Mm-hmm.
And since you've now, you know,
revealed where you work.
Oh.
I mean, I don't care.
We don't have any reviews on it, so you're good.
those hotels are, I always said that they were like a Las Vegas casino without the casino, right? It's that size of a property.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot to know within that. I mean, you walk the length of a football field just to get from one place to another in that building.
It's and a so, quarter of a mile from security to my bar.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
It takes about 14 minutes to walk.
Holy. And you're not even on the airport's property. That's insane.
I remember Tyler having said that he lost 20 pounds working there just for the amount that you have to walk all over the place. And I remember seeing him a few months after he had worked there.
And if you have to park far, then you have to walk much farther.
Yeah, yeah. You're getting
security is in the building
30 minutes before you actually have to be on the
for sure.
Yeah. 30 minutes and you're
gosh.
Late. But I don't know if you mentioned this, because again, I was off making the cocktails, but did you talk about like mystery shoppers as being another set of reviews that you have to deal with in your in-house?
I briefly touched on it. Yes. Oh, I didn't mention that we do have reviews within the hotel too. So like if we were to go stay at the Hyatt, the Grand Hyatt downtown, you can go on a TripAdvisor and leave a review. You can go to Google. You can go to Yelp, any of those platforms to leave a review. But also when you check out, they send an email stating, leave us a review. So there's reviews within the hotel. And I've gotten reviews, you know, outside from different platforms, the third party companies, and I've gotten reviews within the hotel. So it's like, there's a lot of pressure.
Those are the reviews that they really push at my hotel.
Yes.
Is, you know, those scores are really what they focus on, is what the guests are saying when they leave.
Yes. And I remember having monthly staff meetings at the Aloft Hotel and our GM going over the reviews and harping at us. We need to fix this. We need to be on this. We need to fix it, fix it, fix it. And it wasn't just the bar restaurant. It was also the engineering department. It was also the front desk. It was also the morning breakfast refuel station. It was also, you know, the service, the house cleaners,
right.
You know, everybody got nailed if we didn't do things or if we upped the code or if we got a negative review. And you're right. Those are the reviews that the hotel management really critiques. And it's, I mean, it can be a little stressful, a bit of a challenge. So yeah, I mean, like I said, there's perks, and honestly, the perks do outweigh the negativity, because like being able to go to Mexico and stay at a Marriott property in Mexico, it just, for nothing, you know, or a $400 hotel, like now said, for $89.
The discount that we got when we went to London, right, and stayed in the,
what was that? The Grand Northern.
I stayed at the Ritz in Honolulu, and my room was $275, and their rate is $750.
There you
Holy
go.
Cow.
And they brought me a bottle of champagne. See? And a gift basket. And they bought my drinks when I was at the pool.
There you go.
So it was pretty fantastic.
Yeah. You know, honestly, those perks definitely outweigh the reviews and some of the customers that you put up with and you know, that half hour security parking issues that you face at the gate.
And I mean, I think...
That's insane. I cannot believe that.
You know, our friend Mike Guzman also just worked for a Sheraton, and he said the downside was... the bar that he worked in was super inconsistent in terms of the money. Like, he could go in and he could make $20. But then he could go in and he could make, you know, $300-$400. Mm-hmm. And the inconsistency sucked, but you know, the hotel perks, but like, and he travels a lot.
Yeah,
so
vacation.
The hotel perks are great.
Yeah. One of my coworkers was saying that to make the money that we make, he's never been more stressed because of the fact of how important budgeting is, mm-hmm, in our environment compared to like other places. When I was at the airport, my paychecks were very consistent. They were within a couple hundred dollars every 2 weeks. And here it can be $1,000, you know, $2,000 like range weekly. And so that can be intense. You know, you come in, you're freaking out. If you, you know, go through December, which is supposed to be our busiest time of the year because we have all the local people coming out for all the, you know,
the Christmas event.
And then January 1st hits and you have one, two shifts.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shoot.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
And you guys, you're not a union, but you operate
on seniority
in similar fashion where seniority is concerned.
And most of the people that work there opened the hotel.
Oh, wow.
So when I started, I was the only bartender that hasn't worked there since the hotel opened.
Wow.
Holy cow. But you're still in a position where you do get good shifts.
You know what? I came in there and I put on my little hustle hat and I did whatever I had to do to pick up every shift that other people didn't want to work. And I did what I had to do to make my way.
There you go. That's the nature of the beast in this industry, unfortunately.
Yeah. You got to do it for yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You can't go into a seniority, you know, situation and then expect everything to be okay.
No, don't work that way.
You're going to work for it.
Yep. All right. Shall we go ahead and move into main course?
Yeah, let's do it.
Who wants to take the main course?
I'll read it. So, main course. This is from the Hotel Teatro. They have an overall 4.5 stars. They're in Denver, Colorado. This is from TripAdvisor. It is a 1 star from January of 2022. Think twice before booking with Hotel Teatro. Hotel Teatro is rigid in their policies and uncompassionate. Isn't it non-compassionate?
Not compassionate.
They're uncompassionate and inflexible with their customers regarding any changes brought on by COVID outbreaks. They apparently do not value their relationships with their customers, with poor management focused only on profit at any cost. It is incredibly poor management practice, customer service, and business principles that Hotel Teatro could not be more compassionate with their customers in regard to unforeseen challenges and adjustments forced by the COVID pandemic on their customers. In our situation, Denver Center for the Performing Arts officially canceled all shows of Loin King. Did you go see that show, John?
Loin King?
You sure that was a DCPA and not a not over at a Diamond Cabaret or La Boheme.
In his clock tower.
Of Loin King.
If it was Diamond Cabaret, it would probably be the hairless cat. Not the line.
Canceled all shows of Loin King at 2:16 p.m. on the 12/21/21. Adnita, given those circumstances and our lack of control over the timing of the DCPA cancellations, it was physically impossible for me to have met Hotel Teatro's cancellation policy of noon on the 21st of December. I did what I could in good faith with a 24-hour window for notice, which was not reciprocated by Hotel Teatro. We liked Hotel Teatro and are incredibly disappointed by their lack of consideration as to the circumstances of our cancellation. It is incredibly poor management practice, customer service, and business principles that Hotel Teatro could not be more compassionate with their customers in regard to unforeseen challenges and adjustments. Oh my goodness, my brain is just not going along with this review. In regard to unforeseen challenges and adjustments,
adjustments, oh my goodness, forced by the COVID pandemic on their customers. Spit it out.
I'm going to get through this. To unforeseen challenges and adjustments forced by the COVID pandemic on their customers. There are many other hotels in the downtown Denver area to consider. Think twice before booking with this hotel.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
That got really difficult. I'm so sorry, but holy cow.
I mean, I was out of breath just listening to you.
Just listening?
This was a merry-go-round of the same thing. Uncompassionate, inflexible with their customers regarding any changes brought on by COVID outbreaks. Unforeseen challenges and adjustments forced by the COVID pandemic.
Where's the other? Uncompassionate, compassionate.
Unforeseen challenges and adjustments forced by the COVID, like just a merry-go-round of the same shit.
We should have tallied compassion in that review.
Oh my goodness.
Somebody has to drink three times now because of all that. Drink, drink, drink. Okay, number one, proofread. Proofread, proofread, proofread. Because I'm sure the Lion King does not want to be called the Loin King.
Depending on what kind of show it was.
My God. Number two, hotels have policies in place for a reason. Policies are rules. Just like everything else in this life has a rule. You run a red light, you break the rule of that, you could be hit by an oncoming car. It's a rule. It's a safety precaution. It's a safety precaution for the hotels to have a 24-hour cancellation fee because that's how they make their money. If they let you cancel 2 minutes before you're supposed to check in, they make no money. Everybody would be canceling.
Right. They then don't sell that room. And I mean, honestly, at the time of this, that happened in December of 2021. I mean, look, that's over a year from COVID. So it is reasonable that, or from the start of COVID, I should say, yes, there's still a lot going on at that time. I think that was when there was a new spike going on. I remember that we had to go back to wearing masks. I think we had gotten to stop for a little bit. But there are still challenges, and you're taking a risk by going and booking a theater show and buying those tickets. And that sucks that they canceled it.
Yeah.
Whatever. That sucks.
Sorry.
But the hotel business took a hit already for that year and a half at that point as it was.
Everybody
How much more accommodating can they be? Can they be expected to be? Like, it's just... It's at some point it's too much.
Right.
Right. And the hotels, while I'm sure they got, you know, the money that they needed from the Heroes Act or whichever act
the PPE.
Congress actually did that. Yeah. The PPP things. I mean, it's a massive hit. A lot of people got laid off. A lot of people had, didn't get to come back to those jobs, and the hotel, I'm sorry, fuck you. Like, I'm sorry. Like, get over it. You know, you didn't follow the rules that they laid out, and it's not your fault, but it's also not their fault.
Right. You know, I think, what were you going to say, John?
I was going to say, we all kind of learned during this time that we had to flow because things were ever changing constant. I think you guys went to a show where the show was canceled and you guys still had to take a vacation.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
You figured it out. You made the best of it.
Yeah. In July, we were supposed to go see the Avett brothers, and one of the brothers got COVID. This past July, 2022.
You still went on your vacation.
We still went on
you
our
made
vacation.
The best of it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's, you know, unfortunately.
You have to adapt.
You do. In these unforeseen, inflexible times, you have to adapt. And look, Susan, I'm really sorry.
I'm not.
That you drove all the way down from Fort Collins to see the Lion King and it canceled. And then you therefore could not cancel your hotel reservation in time. I understand that sucks. I get it. However, had you maybe called management and said, look, I'm sure I missed the reservation cancellation policy. Is there anything we can do? Like, can I rebook when the Lion King comes back, and can I rebook at maybe a discounted price? Had you gone that route instead of writing a horrible review that you just repeat yourself three times and make no sense and sounds like you're a spoiled, entitled, whiny little twat, I'm sure the hotel would have worked with you. I'm sure Ronnie would have been more than happy to be like, wow, thanks for being nice. You know, I'm really sorry. Absolutely. We can book you, you know, just let us know whenever you book those Lion King tickets again, let us know. We'll get you on our top floor, or we'll make sure to throw in complimentary room service or whatever. It's all about how you go about things in life. And again, they have policies for a reason. I'm, you know, get over it. And we're going to find out what that reason is here. So
I just keep picturing like this person in my head though, like, oh my God, we went to go see the Lion King and it just wasn't available to us anymore.
An old Jewish woman? Is that what you're picturing?
From Long Island.
From Long Island.
We went to see the Lion King.
A Mom, whole hour and a half away.
Right. You could have, no joke, you could have stayed at the hotel and you could have gone to something else in Denver. You could have made it a date night. Look, there are so many other options and things that you could have chosen to do to make this situation better, and you chose not to. Instead, you whined and complained and got upset and said things about a hotel when 9 times out of 10, hotels are really accommodating. They really are. As long as you don't do anything to their property, they don't really say much. They're like, okay, whatever. We still want you back, so we're going to give you whatever you want. Here's the response from Ronnie Rose, guest services, front office at Ho Teatro, responded on January 7th of 2022, so not long after you left a review. I'm sure I had to get through holidays. Or she. Hi, Susan. We can certainly understand why you are upset about the cancellation policy. As a lover of the theater as well, I've had to contend a canceled hotel flight due to the show I wanted to see, canceling last minute, and it was a headache and a half. We here try to make sure that our policy allows for flexibility as much as possible while still protecting the hotel. As you may imagine, when theater shows cancel and the hotel receives a flood of cancellations, we experience a loss of revenue that we use to pay our employees who work extremely hard to provide the level of service that you've come to know for us. That is why we do try to enforce the cancellation policy whenever possible. We are not without heart, however. Please call the hotel and ask to speak to Ronnie, the front office manager, to discuss your complaint. There's the truth
Bravo.
Of it. Yeah.
Bravo.
Encore, Ronnie. Encore. There's the truth of it. When everybody is canceling their hotel reservation because a show canceled, you're losing thousands of dollars.
We know you think you're the only person that matters, but you are not the only person that is in this situation.
Right. And
we staffed right? We staffed the hotel. We made sure that everyone was there take care of you. Well, yeah, I mean, at this time, hopefully. But the point is, like, for the staff, like, we hired who we hired. We still have to pay them. We still have to operate this space. And if we let everybody cancel just because the theater canceled, right? That's like, oh, we had dinner reservations next door, but that restaurant closed because of COVID, and now we need to cancel, right? Like, no, like that business does not operate independently, or sorry, it operates independently of other businesses.
Right.
So yes, we're not without heart, you know, great response, Ronnie. And we still need to run our business the way we run our business.
Right. You know, and this is why I chose this review for the response alone, is the fact that here's the bigger picture. We had multiple cancellations. We lost hundreds of dollars in revenue. Our staff that we had in-house for this Loin King event now are not getting paid. We don't have the money to pay them. I mean, we do have the money, but we're taking a hit. In addition to that, Ronnie then said, we're not without heart, so please give us a call. Had you done that in the first place, Susan, again, you could have gotten maybe an upgrade on your room or a less expensive hotel room. Hotels want your business. They have deals all the time. They have last minute booking rates. You know, you could look at the Ritz-Carlton and see a $700 rate for 2 weeks out, and then you look that night of, and if they haven't sold so many rooms that they're supposed to, which every hotel is supposed to sell a certain amount of rooms each night, they have a goal. If they haven't sold it, they'll discount their rate. It could be then a $500. That's $200 off. You know? It's really frustrating, Susan, that you are a whiny little bitch and that you did not think outside the box, and that Ronnie had to point it out to you being the better person, and that you left a terrible, redundant review. You know, I think you really need to... I think you need to focus on your poor management of how to write a review and your lifestyle. Cause I mean, you can definitely choose glasses half full instead of empty. So I'm going to, I almost gave a star, but
don't do that yet. I have just a couple more things to say. One of which is, one of the things I really don't like about this review is there are many other hotels in the downtown Denver area to consider. Think twice before booking this hotel. Did you call them all and ask what their policy was?
Right.
Because I guarantee they all have the same policy.
The same.
Right. And especially and especially right around the DCPA. Hotel Teatro was not the only one that had rooms booked for people.
You got the Four Seasons? Try getting a room there.
The Grand Hyatt is right there. The Meridian is right there.
The Meridian's not far. You've got the Curtis Hotel.
The Aloft is right there. I mean, there are a lot of hotels surrounding, and they all have the same 24-hour cancellation policy. And a lot of them, I'm sure, also had hotel rooms that were booked by people who were going to see The Loin King. And so did you actually call those other hotels to say, hey, did you allow people to cancel? Because otherwise, if you didn't do that, you're giving more misinformation. Like, go book at another hotel because this one sucked. All right, I'm going to book at another hotel. And guess what? Same fucking policy.
Yeah.
So what should we rate this?
I know, like, you wanted to give a star, but now you just want an 86er.
I want an 86er. I do. I can't stand her, but I'm not gonna say it yet. I'm not gonna officially say it.
I think we should 86er.
Okay, let's 86er.
The redundancy of compassion or uncompassion.
Uncompassionate, inflexible.
Ma'am, we get it. I did have to look it up because my head was just reeling. Uncompassionate is a word, but it's not hyphenated the way they have it.
How many paragraphs do you need to say the same thing?
To say the same thing over and over.
A redundant merry-go-round. Ugh.
And to me, it does come down to that last sentence, you know, of there are many other hotels. Great. Go book another hotel next time.
And when you book it, it says, right, after you're done booking, there is a 24-hour cancellation policy.
Right. And like you said, like, Ronnie was great in the response saying,
Ronnie was,
you know,
beautiful.
Ronnie was the bigger person, says, give us a call and we'll see what we can do for you on your next trip. That's great. That is how you're supposed to recover somebody.
This is a me right. review. Right.
Yes.
But well, it's not taking accountability for all of the other impacts and
adulting me things that you're supposed to do. Right.
Have to explain to an adult the reality of the world.
Right. Well, and John, like you said, I mean, we had a vacation planned this last summer where we were, I mean, it was a road trip, so we didn't have to cancel flights or anything, but we were going up to Montana to see a concert. And just a few days before, the concert's canceled because one of the band members got COVID. And not just like a band member, not, you know.
The lead.
What, yeah. Like
there's two leads.
There's two leads and one of them got COVID.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not the Avett brother. They're the Avett brothers. And so we still went and we made the best of it.
Right.
And, you know, like.
And it was a great trip.
Yeah. I'll bet you got your money back for the Loin King. Go have a real fancy schmancy dinner.
Right. Yeah, throw some money into a server that is struggling to get back on their feet after the pandemic.
Yeah. Right. Go to the clock tower and see a cabaret. Maybe they were playing the Loin King there.
Maybe. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. You're 86, Susan. Please just stick to your Fort Collins theater. Have a nice day. All right. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to have happy hour.
We work in bars that get 3 stars. I'm not your minion. Fuck your opinion. Fuck your 3 stars. Hey.
I mean, it really does come down to choices, honestly. You can choose to be the glass is half full and to look at the bright side of life, or you can choose to be the glass half empty. And Susan chose that. And I think that's just silly choosing, because there are a lot of things that you can do on a whim to make things better. Yeah.
Speaking of half empty.
Hey guys.
Yes.
Guess what time it is?
What time is it?
It's a 3 stars podcast, happy hour. It's a 3 stars podcast, happy hour. It's a 3 stars podcast, happy hour. Let's get a drink on.
What are we drinking today, Brad?
We are drinking the Martinez, which is a cocktail that I had never heard of until... Actually, that's not entirely true. I had heard of it. I had never seen it in a bar until a long... I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. Actually, I hadn't even seen it at a bar back then, but I'd heard of it back then. And then you started seeing it pop up in bars, craft cocktail bars primarily, who were going back to like the origins of cocktails. And this cocktail is shrouded, as I said, in the mystery of history, because it is the predecessor, it's believed, to the martini. And
it has, and
some people, like if you hear it, you think maybe it's a tequila cocktail or a mezcal cocktail or something like that. But it supposedly has its origins in Martinez, California. And it's got so many different variations of the recipe that I made two versions. I made a more modern version, which... I did mess up the proportions a bit, but it has Old Tom gin, it has sweet vermouth, and it has maraschino liqueur. And I put a little too much maraschino liqueur. I think that in this one, and it is stirred and served up, that this one, I think I just put too much maraschino liqueur. You can taste it too heavily. It's off balance, is my opinion. Old Tom gin is going to be a little sweeter than your London Dry already. So it didn't need as much of the maraschino as I put in. So to me, and then it's getting sweet vermouth. So overall, like this version that I made, I was not a big fan of. And I think it's a little too sweet. I did go equal portions and I really should not have. And I realized that after I had thrown everything into the glass. So that was kind of a problem. But the original cocktail was actually printed in 1884 in The Modern Bartender, which was by O.H. Byron. And that's like a pseudonym. It was not the person's real name. But it is actually listed as a variation on a Manhattan. It has two cocktail recipes for a Manhattan, and then it underneath it says Martinez cocktail, same as Manhattan, only you substitute gin for whiskey. So then I went and I made another version of this, and it is the version that's in this book, minus one ingredient. And it calls for a pony of French vermouth, a half a pony of whiskey. This is the Manhattan I'm talking about. Three or four dashes of Angostura bitters and three dashes of gum syrup. Now, I don't have gum syrup. I could have made gum syrup if I had some gum arabic, but I don't, so I didn't. And instead, I did just, essentially it's like throw in a little sweetening agent, and I just threw in a couple of dashes of the maraschino liqueur. So that's this second version. So, except I put Old Tom Gin instead of whiskey.
Oh.
So I don't know if you tried that one.
I like that one a lot.
Yeah, that one wasn't my favorite.
Not as sweet.
No.
I feel like the first one needed to be toned down a little bit.
Yeah, the first one needed to be toned down. The second one is definitely not as sweet.
We should definitely clink, though.
Oh, yeah, we should clink, clink.
Clinking is good. Hold on.
And in that first version, I did also put in a couple dashes of orange bitters. Because like I said, I mean, there are so many variations of the cocktail. And, you know, the bitters, the orange bitters will bring out a little brightness as well. But this cocktail supposedly even had origins long before it came into print. But the reason it gets all mashed up was because when it's first printed, there's the Manhattan, two versions of the Manhattan, which the second version doesn't even look like a Manhattan anymore. But it has two versions of the Manhattan. It has the Martinez. And then within another year or two, I think by 1885 or 1886, the Martini is a thing. So there's the Manhattan, the Martinez, the Martini. There's another one called a Martina, which was M-A-R-T-E-N-A. And they all just kind of like swarm around each other in different variations. I mean, like I said, the second version of a Manhattan you wouldn't recognize. It calls for two dashes of Curacao, two dashes of Angostura, half a wine glass of whiskey, half a wine glass of Italian vermouth. I mean, you wouldn't get a Manhattan with Curacao in it.
No.
These days.
No.
Right? I mean,
no.
I think it would probably be delicious, but at the same time, if you made that for someone, for the Manhattan that they generally recognize today, it would be, you know, They'd be like, what the fuck did you just give me?
This guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Especially this one. Right, exactly.
Idiot.
Especially this one that calls for, it's half a wine glass of whiskey and half a wine glass of Italian vermouth. Now, the wine glasses back then were like little tiny wine glasses.
Are
like
you sure about that?
Yes, they were. It was like
it
some giant Beaujolais or anything like that.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, you weren't getting that fucked up. But also, it called for equal. It called for equal parts back then. And now, the common version is a 2-to-1, right? So I actually think that this version would be interesting to have. I would definitely use like something that's a high proof whiskey, because if you're going equal parts with the Italian vermouth, I mean, you want to smooth that out, but you definitely want something that's, you know, going to have some kick to smooth out. And I think like two dashes of Curacao would be like kind of bright.
Kind of bright.
Yeah. I mean, it adds that like that orange flavor. So it's almost, I mean, I wouldn't say it's like adding orange bitters, but it's similar in that, you know, you're adding that little bit of orange flavor, and that is going to sweeten it as well, because, you know, Curacao is a sweet liqueur.
Right.
So I just always, I find like the history of these old cocktails amazing, because when you then get into, the Jerry Thomas version of this cocktail, that one actually is a dash of Boker's bitters, which I don't even know that they're in existence anymore. They might be. Two dashes of maraschino, one pony of Old Tom gin, one wine glass of vermouth, and two small lumps of ice. And then you shake it and strain it.
So, and when you said that these older cocktail recipes, they're like hidden gems. They're neat. It's fun. I think it's fun to go back to these old recipes and to see what people were drinking back then. But what blows my mind is, number one, that these liqueurs and such were around.
Yeah. Especially when we don't end up seeing them in the United States until, you know, the last 15 years, probably.
Right.
And you certainly didn't see them at every bar. And nowadays you're starting to see things like, you know, the Luxardo Maraschino at almost not every bar, but
green chartreuse, yellow chartreuse.
Any bar that has like any sort of semi-decent cocktail program, they're going to have a bottle of it.
Yeah. And then number two, the fact that people made these drinks. They sat there like, because I don't think that way. I'm not a forward thinker. I'm a right now thinker, I guess. I'm one of those people that's like, you can tell me what to do and I have no problem doing it. But to think outside the box or critically or creatively, I don't do that. So for people to, you know, to sit there and be like, oh, well, let's take this gin that I have sitting around and let's take this new liqueur that we just made and let's add this and this and this and this. Oh man, that actually tastes really good. I mean, that's genius.
I mean, they were doing what chefs do.
Right.
Right. They were
and even that's
testing
genius.
Everything.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing is that when these go through history, they then get lost because of Prohibition. Well, before Prohibition, World War I, Prohibition, World War II, Korea. I mean, like all of these things happen that we didn't have the internet. Right. So you're not just going in and being like, oh, you know what? I don't remember how to make this drink. Let me look up and see what Jerry Thomas used to do. Right. Like, I don't know how many printings Jerry Thomas's, you know, two cocktail books had, but it's not like it was Harry Potter. Right. It's not like it was the Bible. It's not like it was, you know, a Tom Clancy novel. You know, there were probably like, you know, I don't even know. I'm going to say a few thousand at best in the late 1800s. And so then it's really surprising when, you know, skip forward into history into the 70s and 80s and early 90s when people start going back and actually digging through the library and seeing what they can find and come up with these cocktails. And like, wait a second, you mean we don't make a Manhattan now the way that it was originally made? Wait
but
a second.
The effort of people to go to the library, go through a card catalog.
What is that?
Yeah, a card catalog, exactly.
Find
what is
a
this
book
new word?
On.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, like predominantly, like we'd come up with a whole bunch of cocktails, you know, in between. But, you know, like I just remember learning how to make a pink squirrel when I very first started bartending. It's so gross. But, you know, Dale DeGroff was really like he's the godfather of the modern cocktail revolution. And he is one of those people who went back and went and found all of these books so that he could create a modern fresh cocktail, you know, program for the Rainbow Room in New York. And like, holy cow, the amount of stuff that we didn't even know what these measurements meant. A pony, right? Oh, like
it's a little.
You see a wine glass and, you know, like I'm staring at wine glasses hanging up over there. And actually a pony was more similar to that small glass in front.
Yeah. Right? Oh, really?
That's more, but even that's too big for a pony, but that's about the shape of it, wow. Right? It's like a long, skinny, short wine glass. Long, short, you know what I mean?
It's a sherry glass.
Yeah. So it like, I don't know. It's fascinating.
It's all very fancy and mixologist. But how many jobs have you had where you walked into an environment to bartend and you had to deal with the selection that they provided you?
Oh, of course.
And suddenly this is what you're making your shots from. This is what you're making your cocktails from.
Yeah.
You don't have, you know, any schnapps options. You don't have any like different flavors. You don't have bitters. I worked, you know, in an event center in a club that never had bitters, never had. People are like, can I get an old fashioned? We don't make that here.
I went into a liquor store and I asked them if they had bitters, and because I didn't see it anywhere, and they're like, what's that? The liquor store over by our house by the Pacific Ocean Market. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. And he had no idea what it was. And I was like, yo, like, you should at least know like the products.
But these environments are just serve as many drinks to these people that are coming tonight as you can.
Yep.
With what you with have what you behind have. Your bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially like
it's
like
been rough at
you've
times.
You've worked pop-up bars within your bars, plus you've worked a number of special events, I'm sure, just like we all have. And you go in and they're like, yeah, this is what I've got, or this is what I've brought you. And then you've got people coming up who are like, can you make a this? Can you make a this? And you're like, I can make a variation of that, but it's not going to be that.
Uh-huh.
Right? Oh, can you make lemon drops? Yeah, no, really?
Like, lemon, you know. Vodka, I'm sorry.
Well, whatever. Vodka, triple sec, lemon juice, simple syrup, right. You can make it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you don't even have the lemon juice, or you just have the lemon juice and not simple syrup.
Right.
Or maybe you have the, you have a pre-batch sour mix, but you didn't get triple sec.
Right.
And so like I can make you like a version of it. I don't think you're going to be all that happy though. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's the place that I work at now. Somebody asked for a green tea shot recently. And I mean, we're a full bar. And when people ask, are you a full bar? My easy answer is yes, but technically no, because I can't get you a green tea shot because I don't have peach schnapps, all the ingredients. I'm sorry. Like, I've got JMO.
Yeah.
But not the schnapps.
No, not the schnapps.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Especially when I work at a lot of pop-up bars, we only have a limited supply of things.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't have all the mixers. We don't have all that. It's like, if you want something that comes from a faucet or a tap, you're probably going to need to be at a bar that is attached to a wall.
Right. The main bar. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, look, I work at a brewery and I get people coming up and asking me for bottled beer. I'm like, no, everything is attached to a giant vat downstairs. I do not have bottled beer. Someone came in the other day and asked me for a Coors Banquet. And I was like, and they were looking at the menu. They're like, yeah, let me get one of these. And they like named whatever the beer was that they wanted. And like, and a Coors Banquet. And I said, no. And they were like, cool, thanks. And I said, did you actually see a Coors Banquet anywhere on the menu that you were just reading?
A yellow belly.
All right. So yeah. So that's happy hour.
Fun. It's a good happy hour. I like it when we dive into the history of it. I think that's great.
Yeah.
A bit of knowledge for everybody. All right. Shall we move on to dessert? We have one more review.
Desserts.
Who wants to read the dessert?
I can take that.
Yeah. Go for it.
We're at the Curtis Hotel, 4 stars, Denver, Colorado, TripAdvisor 1, August of 2022. Rude service. Hotel had a bad odor. The AC unit made noise even when turned off. The staff was all rude. Nobody says hi. They talk to you like you are stupid. One even made a joke suggesting I'm old. I spent the last 150 nights a year at a hotel. I've been to hundreds of hotels. This by far is the worst one ever.
Maybe you are old.
I do want to know if it was like the boomer comment, right?
Maybe. And you said it. They made a joke. It's a joke. Come on. The AC unit made noise after it was turned off. Like, that kind of creeps me out. What was it? Was it like calling out your name?
Steven. Turn me on.
Just like your wife.
Hotel had a bad odor. I'll tell you what, that's a little strange because most hotels, I don't know if they do this at the property you're at, John, but all the Marriotts have specific smells to each hotel for their brand. Weston was White Oleander.
Dave and Buster's used to do that too.
And they pump it. Yeah, they pump it through the AC system of the hotel, the HVAC of the hotel. So I don't know how the hotel had a bad odor. Maybe you just didn't like it.
I mean, if the AC was broken and making noise, and I mean,
maybe that's the moldy smell you're getting.
This isn't the Brown Palace. This is the Curtis Hotel. The Brown Palace might have an odor from
1800s.
It might smell like something brown. That's how it got its name.
Man, there's a lot of history with the Brown Palace.
We love the Brown Palace,
we
by
do.
The way.
We do love the Brown Palace. And there's a shit ton of history with the Brown Palace. Like, I think there's only two presidents that have never stayed at the Brown Palace out of all the presidents we've had.
Really?
Only two have not stayed there. Yeah, I just found that out.
Wait, it's that old?
Yes.
1890.
It might be the first.
Okay, so since it was built.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was saying, like, George Washington stayed at the Brown Palace.
Absolutely.
I know some of the best bartenders there ever.
Do you know?
Yes.
Yeah, we love the Brown Palace. We joke.
That's funny. I mean, I make jokes that people are old all the time, especially the ones where, like, you didn't ask for my ID. I'm like, yeah, because you're old. I mean, it's not a joke. It's really just a statement of fact.
Mm-hmm. But I recently was carding every single person because something happened. And I was like, I don't care if you're in a walker. I'm carding you tonight. Yeah. You know, this is how sensitive this is. Yeah. And, you know, I said, this guy was like, do you really think I'm older than you? And I handed him back his ID and I said, you are.
Isn't that the best?
Yeah.
I love it when people tell me
that. A year is a year is a year.
I do the same thing.
People asshole. Are
like, yeah, dickhead. I do the same thing with people at my place. You know, the airport. And what cracks me up is that, number one, they don't have their ID in the normal place or on them. They have to go through their luggage to get it, and their luggage is usually far away for them. And then number two, it's the, honey, I could be your grandma. Well, I'm sure you could, but you don't know how old I really am because I look young for my age. And the people who are, you know, oh my God, I'm so old, and I read their IDs and it's 1984, and I'm like, yeah.
You deal with different challenges at the airport, as we all know.
Right.
Yes.
And you deal with, number one, TSA has different... different rules with identification. They can take a photo of an ID. They can take an expired ID to let you through on your plane.
Yep.
People are furious when I got through security,
right?
But you won't serve me a drink.
No, your ID is expired.
No, the rules with alcohol enforcement is a lot different than getting you through TSA to get on a flight.
I don't care about them. I don't trust them.
One of Nito's comments was that, yeah, but did they hand you a beer when you got through?
Love it.
I love this line in the review. I spend at least 150 nights a year at a hotel. I'm like, so you're homeless?
Like, no, business traveler. Business traveler. I get that. Yeah. You know, get your panties out of a bunch here, traveler. And I'm sorry that Curtis did not meet your expectations. I apologize for that. All right. Check, please. What did we learn today, gents?
I hate to do this. But I need to do this. And I want to apologize for the main course reviewer because I said, fuck you. And while I meant it, I shouldn't have said it.
No, say it. It's
so,
fine.
No, like no kidding. Like I ran out of...
I mean, Susan was a bitch.
Yeah, I know. Like I ran out of words and gave into the frustration of it, though, in the moment. And I shouldn't... And I hate that review. I think that the person was absolutely horrendous for writing that review. The review itself, like, it just sucks. But in the moment, I ran out of the words that I wanted, and I devolved to saying fuck you. So I'm not apologizing to the reviewer per se. I guess I'm apologizing to our listeners for not having, you know, appropriately articulated what I was going for.
Well, you met them where they were. They couldn't find very many words to make their point.
Thank you.
You couldn't find very many words.
Treat others as you would want to be treated.
Hey, guys, I'm just trying to be more compassionate. Okay?
You said fuck you. They said a fucking book.
Yeah, saying repetitive shit.
Saying a haiku in 150.
Uncompassionate, inflexible COVID pandemic.
Fuck you. How about it?
That sounds good. Thank you. That's very nice of you, Brad. It's very nice of you. John, what'd you learn?
You know, I just learned to be an adult and not expect people to tell you how to be an adult.
Brilliant. Succinct. Perfect.
And didn't have to repeat yourself. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. I learned that the Martinez is actually not the recipe that I have written down. There is an original recipe, and the one that I have is not the correct one.
And probably 100 other recipes.
Yeah,
Don't think anything about the, like, it's so many.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, and just like with everything else in life, the bar spirit world and cocktails, they all evolve. They all change. So yeah, very interesting. All right. On that note, thank you very much for listening. We greatly appreciate all of you. John, thank you once again for being here. We appreciate you sitting in and joining us today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart.
Get better, Bill.
Yes, Bill, get better.
I'll come and draw you a bath.
Oh,
I'll make
that's
you better.
So bath bombs? Should I get a bath
just
bomb?
Just draw a picture of a bath.
Because I'm not coming inside.
Please make sure to like, heart, thumbs up, share, write us a review. It's been kind of quiet. Guys, we do want to hear from you. We love you very much. Thank you for loving us. And come on back, you hear?
Bye-bye.
And then I would just stand there and say, how are you? How are you? How are you? How are you?